Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Conscious Mathematics. My name is Ray Singletary, and I'm here tonight doing my first live show. And, you know, this is a privilege for me because I'm excited to share some of my thoughts from today and really get into this idea of creating these conditions in our schools, in our classrooms, for teacher, student, and community success. Very passionate about it. I want to learn more. And I'm honored and privileged for anybody to join. So lately, in my recorded podcast, I've been talking about this idea of self-care for teachers. And self-care for teachers, social-emotional learning for teachers, to me, has become really critical, especially in these times of our current environment, how we're learning and teaching students. And the messages that we hear from TV, from our communities around, you know, what teachers are doing and what parents are doing and how we can support kids, I think it's really, really a big conversation that we need to have. And so I've been sharing these ideas around emotions, but tonight, I really want to talk about this idea of conflict. Conflict. Because I think conflict and being able to navigate conflict is critical to being a successful person, to being a successful teacher, and bringing yourself joy and happiness. And so the way that I'm going to go through this tonight is I've been reading through this article that I found online. And this article is called I Don't Like Brené Brown Anymore. And in this article, it's by Ryan Phan. He's a first-year teacher. And he talks about his experience as a first-year teacher and how he kind of explored this idea of social-emotional learning through the lens of a teacher for kids, but had a realization that we needed it for teachers as well, because there's a lot of emotions that go into it. So I'm going to start tonight by talking about his story and just reading from the article. Just reading a couple paragraphs from there. Then connecting that to this idea of conflict and what conflict is. Defining it, giving some examples of it that you might experience, that I've experienced, and I continue to experience. I experienced some today. And then really talk about some practical solutions that you can think about and use for yourself as you deal with conflict. So let me start out by sharing his story and reading from his article. Again, his article is called I Don't Like Brené Brown Anymore. And I've been reading the paragraphs. I'm on page 6, if you printed out the article. And on page 6, he starts to talk about some of the challenges that teachers face and the demands and the responsibilities. And how teachers that, you know, embrace taking a break or may want to step back for a second get this feeling of not doing enough. Maybe get looked at like that. And so I'm going to continue reading from that point of view, that perspective. Our teachers aren't doing enough, or they get perceived as if they're not doing enough. And then really talk about how this relates to conflict to me. So it says, right now, 44% of teachers leave the profession within their first 5 years of teaching. I don't know any other profession with a similar turnover or attrition rate. I left every day feeling beat down and exhausted. Sure, I knew it wasn't sustainable, but I was just trying to keep or get to the next day, let alone survive the whole year. Teachers are expected to do their job and not complain about it. And I love my job. I love my kids. But that doesn't mean I'm not constantly overwhelmed. I do by it. There are probably a lot of districts easier to teach than mine. And I had to tell myself, Ryan, you're tough. You knew what you were signing up for. And so, in his paragraphs, thanks for joining up, dude. I hope I'm saying your name right. If I'm not, let me know. But I'm talking about conflict and how as teachers, we can navigate conflict. And this idea of this article called, I Don't Like Brené Brown Anymore, just reading a paragraph from that. It's called by Ryan Phan, and he's talking about this idea of how teachers feel every day. And he's mentioning this point of how 44% of teachers leave the profession within the first 5 years. That's bad. It's not good for the profession. It's not good for the individual, the teacher. And it's not good for kids to have different teachers coming in and out. It's not good for the community, especially if you don't know and get the systems that are already in place and understand who you're trying to serve and what they deserve. And so when our teachers are feeling beat down, when our teachers are feeling exhausted, the challenge is that how do we get a chance to bring that out? Because to me, that's conflict. This hidden feeling, sometimes it's not hidden. Sometimes it comes out in words and expressions, in attacks, or in these outbursts of anger and frustration. All these feelings are getting pinned up by our teachers. And so it's this idea of conflict for me. So I want to dive a little deeper into Ryan's words and talk about how conflict and being able to navigate conflict is critical to being able to take care of yourself as a teacher, but also critical to being able to take care of your students. And so let me define conflict. So I just looked this up in a dictionary, and they have a verb definition and a noun definition. For the verb, it talks about this idea of a collision or disagreement. For the noun, it talks about struggle. And when I think about those words, and when you probably think about those words, you probably think about them as not being good. They're not good feelings. This idea that you're colliding with something, if you get in a car accident, you collide with somebody, or you walk into them at collision, or you walk into a wall, that doesn't feel good. If you're disagreeing, it's conflict. If you struggle, when we think of struggle, we don't think of good things. We think of things that are the worst feeling that we can have. We're not, and as teachers, we're not supposed to struggle, right? We're supposed to know everything and be able to navigate all situations. And that's what Ryan is saying here. He's saying that we can't complain about things. We're not supposed to share our struggle. We're supposed to just be able to work through it. And that's a disappointing factor. That's what's disappointing about this idea of conflict. It's this idea that it is a bad thing. So we're supposed to avoid it. And we're not supposed to engage in it, really. But I wonder if there is a positive way to engage with conflict. A way that we can make conflict something that is productive, that helps us move forward, instead of something that is seen as bad and we should avoid it, and it's not something that we are to express. Because when we feel that way, then we're going to hold it in. And when we hold it in, it just causes these stressors, this anxiety, these feelings of not being able to move forward. You're stuck and you don't know what to do. And so, again, I'm racing with very conscious mathematics and really talking about conflict and social emotional learning for teachers and how this idea of conflict can be a struggle sometimes. And so I wonder, you know, what you think about conflict. What comes to mind for you? You know, I see Abdu on here, and I wonder to you, what do you think of when you think of conflict? What is something that comes to mind? Is it a situation? Is it an experience that you had in a past that sticks with you, that you'll never forget? Or is it something that you enjoy? You enjoy conflict. So for me, what I want to do next is kind of share some types of struggle that you might have to deal with, some types of conflict that you might see. You resent conflict. I know, you don't want to face it, right? It can be something that is very challenging to deal with. And so let me talk about two types of conflict that you might incur, and then some examples from my own experience, and then maybe a couple of practical tips that can be helpful to you as you think about conflict, as you work through it. So from my understanding, you know, and I get this from a superintendent that I read about. He was doing an interview on a podcast, and he was talking about this idea of how he got to be a superintendent. And he mentioned something that really stuck with me in that interview. He said to me during the interview, he said, there's two types of conflict. He said, there's internal conflict, like the conflict between when you make a decision and somebody disagrees with that decision. You have internal conflict of, is that the right thing? Did I choose the right path? Was that the best way to go about things? So that's an internal struggle. But then you have the external conflict, which can be caused by other people. An example of that is if you're working with a student and they don't acknowledge your instructions, you say, you know, I need you to sit down, or I need you to turn on, these days if you're working virtually, I need you to turn on your camera, or I need you to turn in that homework, and they don't listen to your instructions, that's an external conflict. There's frustration there because they didn't do the things you asked them to do. And so he mentioned that if you're going to be successful as an educator, he said, you have to learn how to deal with conflict internally and externally. And what I would say to that is that dealing with it, it's not the same for everyone. we all don't deal with it the same way. Some of us run from it. I know me personally, I grew up in a family that we didn't really engage in conflict. It went from a passive to very aggressive type of situation. And so because we did not want to get aggressive, because we didn't want to get aggressive, we didn't talk. We did not engage in the conversation. Bye, Abdu. Appreciate you. We didn't talk about it. We just let it go. We just said, we're not going to engage in it. And what happened was, things would boil up and boil over. And what that would turn into was something very aggressive. Something that was very uncomfortable. And I think that's how we deal with it as educators. I think we're very passive aggressive. We don't want to deal with it up front. And so we let it go until it boils over and gets to a point where you don't want to deal with it anymore. And you get so frustrated that you explode and you get so mad. Have you ever had that experience? Probably have. Have you ever had an experience where you get a nasty email from a colleague and it seems like it was unexpected and you don't know what to do about it? That's a struggle. Internally, you're trying to figure out what to do, and externally, you're trying to figure out how you want to approach the situation. You ever been asked to do more by your principal? Go cover a class. And you feel like you don't want to cover a class. You need your time to plan. You need your time to do the work. That's the internal conflict. And then the external conflict is, you know, are you going to be mad at the principal for asking you to do that? Are you going to be mad at the secretary for calling you and asking you to do that? These are all things that happen. And a lot of times, as educators, we let it go. We don't say anything to the secretary or principal until it's the fourth or fifth time that it happens. When we get called to cover, and then we explode. And then nobody hears the message. The message goes away. And so the other thing that I think is important is that we got to realize where that stems from. What is the root of those kind of engagements? And why do we struggle so much in those moments? Well, for me, I think the root of that, and again, we're talking about conflict. I'm Ray Singletary, Conscious Mathematics, talking about conflict and how we need to be able to deal with conflict better as educators and how it's a struggle and we want to avoid struggle. But what's the root of all this conflict? The root of it, to me, and this is just my opinion, so you can agree or disagree. The root of it is this idea of communication. Communication is the root, the cause of this conflict. When we don't have communications and it's not clear and it's not effective and it's not consistent. Hey, Tony. When it's not those things, then we struggle with conflict. And I can give you an example. When I got married to my wife, we've been married for 14 years. And I got married. We got a marriage counselor, the person that was doing our wedding. He was a priest and he told us we needed counseling. And he said to me, he didn't say it to my wife, he said to me, he said, you know, one day you'll be sitting there doing the dishes and your wife will be upset with you. He said, remember, it's never going to be about the dishes. It's always going to be about something else that happened before that never got resolved. And so as educators, I believe that's true. I believe it from my own experiences as a child and in my own family, the passive aggressiveness that happens. And I believe that we struggle with conflict as educators because we don't communicate clearly. We struggle with it. And I mean, be upfront with people about things that are good, the things we struggle with, all those things, our boundaries. It all stems back to why we struggle with conflict and why it affects us socially and it affects us emotionally. We go home, we complain to our spouse, we complain to our friends, and it makes us feel good for a minute, and we want somebody to, you know, commiserate with us. I can't even say the word, commiserate with us. It feels good for that moment, but you don't get the problem resolved, and the problem's still there the next day. So what can you do about it? What can you do when you have conflict and you're dealing with conflict in your work and with yourself? What can you do to help you work through it and help it to be a positive experience? Well, you know, there's many tactics I believe you can take. In this idea, there's many paths that you can take. So what I'm going to share with you is just some ways that you can internally start the process. Because it's hard to start. It's hard to know where to go. It's hard to know how to have the conversation, especially when you feel external conflict with somebody else. So I'm gonna share a couple of ideas from that, how to start internally, because I think that's where it starts. You can't start externally with the other person, or if you do, usually it doesn't turn out to be a positive conversation. We want it to be positive. So how to take care of yourself when it comes to conflict. So these tips are from this book that I'm reading called Onward. We just had a book study tonight around it, myself and my colleagues, and it was talking about this idea of conflict and how that's primary to having a positive experience with your students, with your school, with your administrator, being able to navigate that. And so this book is by Elena Aguilar, and she talks about some tactics that you can take when you're dealing with conflict and trying to figure out how to deal with it in a positive way. So here are some things that she says you can start with. First, you have to pause. Pause. Because when conflict happens, whether it's internal or external, we want to jump to fix it. For example, that student doesn't acknowledge you when you, as I mentioned earlier, when you give them directions. You want to fix it quick. So you start reacting to their non-response. I've done it plenty of times. So instead of reacting initially, pause. Pause. Take a minute, 30 seconds, take a breath, whatever you need to do to pause. Stand still, blink your eyes, pick something up, Whatever you need to do to pause, just take a minute. Because you don't have to be in a hurry to fix the problem. The problem's still going to be there. You'll have time to fix it. So that's one. Step two, or action two, is to get really clear on the problem. Because we usually attack the person when we are reacting. You didn't do this. Why didn't you say this? Or we attack ourselves. That was terrible. Why shouldn't I have done that? Instead, we need to be really clear on what the problem is before you respond. So that student not acknowledging your directions, you need to be clear on what directions you gave and what they did not do. Or internally, if you're having a conflict with yourself around a decision you made, what part of that decision did you not like? Because not the whole thing was bad, probably. So you need to pause, get clear, and then be willing to respond about the problem. About the problem. Don't hold it in for later. Don't be passive in that moment. Don't be aggressive in that moment. Because either one of those things are not going to turn out well. And again, this is one tactic. There's other tactics that you can use. But be willing to respond to the problem, not the person. And note, that person's probably going, if you're having a conflict with another person, that person's probably going to react in a way that is aggressive or, you know, negative towards you. Just expect that. Expect that's going to happen. But to be able to deal with the conflict, you have to do those three things. You have to start internally. You have to pause. You have to get clear. And then you have to respond. So what could that look like? Student doesn't acknowledge your directions. You stop, you pause, you take a breath. And you say, Johnny, I need you to have a seat. Don't have to yell and scream, calm voice. I don't want to have a seat. I don't think that's right. You know, tell the elder kid to have a seat. I understand. Johnny, I need you to have the seat. You can repeat what you say. You don't have to engage in their explanation of why you did or did not. You can talk about that later. In that moment, you need to be clear on what the problem is. Okay. Situation two, you get a nasty email. Nasty email from a colleague, rude comment in a meeting. Pause, take a breath, and then ask him, are you okay? And they might say, no, I'm not okay. And you say, well, do you want to work through it or are you going to be upset? Because if you're going to be upset, then we can stop the meeting. Realize that that rude comment is not about you. It has to do with something else. So just being able to get clear about that is critical because we take offense. We hold it as a personal attack. And I do this too. It's hard to do it in that moment. That's the purpose of the pause, to wait and see what's going to happen next. And so, you know, that's a strategy, a tactic that you can use. Again, it's from Elena Aguilar, book Onward. I think it's chapter five or six, where she's talking about conflict. But being able to navigate those situations positively and expect them, It's critical to your own self-care. It's critical to your ability to support your students and to work with your leaders that you disagree with. Work with your colleagues when you have those moments. It's going to happen. So we got to be able to work through it. So just to summarize this whole session, you know, my first live session, appreciate those that can join, is, you know, I was talking about this idea of conflict and social emotional learning for teachers and reading Ryan Phan's article called I Don't Like Brené Brown Anymore. He talked about this idea of 44% of teachers leaving the profession after 5 years, feeling beat down and exhausted, expected not to complain. And all of that emotions, feelings is to me conflict. It's internal conflict. It's external conflict. Internal, or am I doing the right thing? Am I working the right job? Should I say something? Should I not? External conflict is with the teachers, the administration, the students, the parents, like people that you engage with. And all that is a struggle. Nobody likes struggle. Nobody likes to feel struggle. It's hard. You don't want to face it. But we have to. You have to face it to make it a positive experience. And to me, it all boils down to one thing. The root of it is communication. You have to be able to communicate effectively. And that's not just talking, but that's also listening, understanding, and being willing to have the conversation. Wanting to have the conversation. Not just being willing, wanting to have the conversation. And so there's things that you can do. I think there's 3 steps that you can take. It starts internally. Can't do it externally. Got to start internally. You have to pause. We have to be clear on the problem. And then we have to respond in a way that's direct in addressing the problem. And if we need to, repeat it. See what happens. Because I wanted you to be able to handle conflict, and I want to be able to handle conflict better. Today I had my moments where I handled it well, and other moments I could have done better. You know, it's always going to be that way. But be willing to face it and have the conversation, and you'll get better as it over time. Because it's important. It's important for your own self-care, your own self-health. And it's important for your students' self-care and their self-health. It's really vital. And so take time, look at these things, look at yourself, redefine conflict for yourself. I'm doing it each and every day. Because when I can do that, then I'm going to be better at wanting to have those tough conversations, even when I feel uncomfortable. Because the more I feel uncomfortable and I get used to it, the more comfortable I'll get with being uncomfortable. And then you can have these conversations all the time and move things forward with your students, your community, and your family. And I know that's what you want. I know that's what I desire. So if you have comments, feel free to share them. Hit me up. I would love to hear them. But take care of yourself. Take care of your family. And make sure that you're not holding in your struggles, your concerns, your conflicts. But be willing to address them fast, like a band-aid, pull them off, and then you'll be able to move forward in a positive way very, very quickly. So I really appreciate you being here, taking the time out to join me on my first live session. Excited about it, and I can't wait till next time we get to chat. Thanks, and have a great night.